today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Bread for the broken.
He not only came to this earth to die for you, but he came to this earth to put you to work. Not in a bad sense, not in the way that we like to make that out to be, but into serving, to serve one another in the church. It's building up the body. I mean, that's the purpose of going to church, is to edify and to build up. You just got to sit at his feet. Sit at his feet for a while. If you don't know, if you can't fill in the blank, then the answer, the solution is simple. Sit at his feet.
Oftentimes, when we attend funerals, we might hear in the eulogy about how the one that passed is now hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When that's said, we know that they lived a life serving God and serving others. In today's message, Pastor James teaches that Jesus didn't only come to die for our sins, but also to put us to work. What has God called you to do with the time that you have left on this earth? Are you fighting the good fight? Will you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
Ephesians. This has been called like one of those mountaintop experience books, like the Swiss Alps of the New Testament is what they'd say. I mean, the heights that you're going to ascend to going through this book is just phenomenal, phenomenal. There's so much in the book of Ephesians. I could read and study through this book for the rest of my life. I love it that much. It is so informative and so practical. It's just a beautiful, beautiful letter. Kind of like at the video displayed for you guys, half of the book is just, it's like theological. It's talking about doctrine and all that stuff. And then the other half of the book is practical. And now you got to put it into practice, because it doesn't do you any good to learn stuff if you don't apply it, okay? And you should know that, especially if you grew up in church. It doesn't do you any good if you never put it into practice. So you may have been in church your whole life, but if you've never sought out ways to apply the truth, you're wasting it. You're squandering beautiful information and life-changing opportunities that, you know, could further you and your growth and your growth towards the Lord and maturity and all that good stuff. You have to put it into practice. You have to put it into practice. That's what the book of Ephesians is about. It's I always kind of label it like this. You have to know before you go. You have to know before you go. If you're going to go and serve the Lord in whatever capacity he has for you, whatever calling he has for you, you have to know him, and you have to spend time with him before you ever step foot out the door. Think of Acts chapter 2. The Lord has commissioned the disciples. He's turning them into apostles, and we'll talk about that, what that means in a second. But he's instructed his church to wait. That's the hardest part about Christianity, I think. The hardest part about serving the Lord is when he says, "Okay, I want you to go, but before you go, I need you to wait." And I'm like, I don't do that well. I don't do that well. I don't sit still well. I don't have patience. I'm just like, no, just point me in the right direction and fire me off. Like, here we go, let's go. And the Lord's like, no, we're gonna wait. You just need to wait. Part of the waiting process is so that you can know who he is a little bit more. And in knowing who he is, learning about the Lord Jesus and growing closer to the Lord Jesus, this miraculous thing happens for you. You begin to understand who you are in him. And that's the difference maker. That's the difference maker. So knowing before going, knowing who he is, knowing more, I mean, you have to know who he is, and then you need to be known by him for sure. But you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to. If you don't want to be patient, if you don't want to, you know, sit there and sit at his feet for a while, you're going to get so frustrated. You're going to get so frustrated. And then when you try this and then you try that and you're doing it all in your own strength and all, eventually you're going to burn out, you're going to give up, you're going to get frustrated, and you're going to blame the church or you're going to blame Jesus, and then you're out. It's like, no, sit still, be quiet, sit at his feet, get to know him better. And in getting to know him better, you'll understand who you are in him, and then it's time to go. And then it's time to go. And it's never looking back kind of a thing. Just going for it. And trying to figure out, and part of the knowing, I'm saying all this just as preface here, but part of the knowing is knowing what he's called you to do. Knowing his will for you. His calling for you. Because we're only going to study two verses. Because there's no way in the world I'm trying to get into verses 3 through 14, which is technically one sentence in the Greek, and it's the most beautiful and rich. I mean, you stumble into a gold mine in verses 3 through 14, and there's no way I'm trying to cover that today. No way, okay? So that's a little heads up. Go home today, read 3 through 14, pray on that, meditate on that, just absorb as much of that as you can. But what I do want to do today is, because you're like, two verses, holy cow, is it a short service? It never is. I'm just going to tell you, I really try. But two verses from Ephesians, we're actually going to jump back into the book of Acts just to get context. So you can kind of get a feel for those to whom this letter is written. But verses 1 through 2, just of Ephesians, real quick, let's read these. It says this, "This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God, to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people, or the saints." Technically, that's what that means. God's saints in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So even within this, before we jump into Acts, I want you to see that, number one, Paul knows who sent him, and he knows why. And he knows who he is in Christ, okay? He's chosen by the will of God to be what? To be an apostle, one who is sent by God. The capital A apostles here are those who were instrumental in planting churches and all that good stuff. That was Paul's calling. That is what, by the will of God, chosen by God, by his will, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, take out Paul's name and put your name. Then fill in the blank. James, chosen by the will of God to be what? Of Christ Jesus. Pastor, teacher, I think is the one I can fill in there. Confidently, I think that it's taken several years to figure that out. But that for myself, but for you, what, fill in the blank. What is it? What is it? You don't have to say out loud or anything like that. Because you may not even know. Because you might be thinking like, well, I have no idea. Well, then that's perfect time for you to sit at his feet. And you ask him. You ask him, like, Lord, that crazy pastor was saying that I should fill in that blank, but I don't know what to write in there. You present that to him and say, Lord, what is it that you have called me to be? Is it a teacher? I mean, we'll get into some specifics later on in the book of Ephesians as far as different roles, whether it's apostle or pastor, teacher, and all that type of stuff. But my encouragement for you is this. You don't move from verse 1 until you can fill in the blanks a little bit, okay? Sit at his feet, ask those questions. Lord, what is it by your will? What have you called me to be? What have you chosen me to be? You're hopefully in the family. You're a son. You're a daughter. But you're more than that. He's called you. He didn't just die on the cross to save you from hell. That's a big part of it. And that's where Christianity oftentimes starts and stops, and it's sad. It's sad. That's why a lot of the Christian movement is pretty anemic. It's pretty weak. It's because we just think like it's just a get me out of hell free card is what it is. That's not what it is. That's a big part of it. The other side of Christianity is he has commissioned you. He has called you to do something, to serve in his kingdom, to some form or capacity. And my encouragement to you is this. F- fill in the blank. What is that thing? Now, let me help you out with some of it. I was looking up, like, well, what are all the different callings and all that stuff? Let's just keep it simple and practical. What are you really good at? What are you passionate about? What excites you? What keeps you up at night? Your desires, and this, maybe the Lord is giving you some like visions for this or that or whatever. Maybe your deal is in the medical field. Maybe if you're a nurse or a doctor, well, you understand that God maybe has placed you there to be the best nurse or doctor that hospital or those patients have ever known, have ever experienced. Maybe he has called you there within that realm. Maybe yours is just as a, maybe it's just a mom to raise kids. And we sometimes put that one low. I was like, that's not important. My goodness, it's like the most important thing ever, okay? That's so tremendously important. There's so much value in that. Don't think that that's like, because you don't have a job, that means somehow you're not like effective or doing anything. No, you raise those babies as unto the Lord. That's a calling. That's a tremendous calling. Maybe yours is a janitor. Maybe it's a mechanic. Maybe it's whatever it is, do all those things as unto the Lord and be the best at it that you possibly can be, because your work reflects his character. So embrace that. Be like, man, I don't know. Paul is an apostle. Maybe I'm just a plumber. Sweet. Then represent the Lord as you're fixing pipes and stuff, right? Like, go for it. Embrace that. Now, in the church world, because I know sometimes that's where we get it confused. Like, yeah, but on outside of the church, I'm this. But what about in the church? I don't know. That's one of those things. Again, you sit at the Lord's feet. Maybe you have the gift of teaching. Well, then teach. Maybe you have the gift of serving. Well, serve. I mean, if you've got the gift of hospitality, well, open up your home. But then also serve in the hospitality here at the church. Maybe you got the gift of making really good coffee. Sweet. Hey, right in there. That's where you belong. Go. You just hang out in the kitchen, make the best coffee ever. Sometimes it's simpler than what we realize. We like to complicate it. And then we sometimes think like, well, I didn't go to, you know, seminary and Bible college, and so I don't have a degree, so I can't be the pastor. Well, I mean, I went to Bible college, if that counts for anything. I don't know if it does. I don't have a degree. I think I do. But I don't know where, if I did, I don't know where it's at. It'll never be on my office wall. It'll never be on my office wall. It's like maybe an associate's in theology. I didn't even know what that meant. I had no clue what that even meant when I went to Bible college, okay? No clue. I didn't go to Bible college to get into ministry. That's just part of what the Lord's plan was for me. We just got to sit at his feet and give time. Sit at his feet. And just allow him to minister to us and reveal what his plan is. Because he not only came to this earth to die for you, but he came to this earth to put you to work. Not in a bad sense, not in the way that we like to make that out to be, but into serving, to serve one another in the church. It's building up the body. I mean, that's the purpose of going to church, is to edify and to build up. You just got to sit at his feet. Sit at his feet for a while. If you don't know, if you can't fill in the blank, then the answer, the solution is simple. Sit at his feet and say, and write it down. I'm a big proponent for writing down your prayers. Write them down. Write them down. And even take in your Bible. Mine's got these cool little, you know, parts here, the side here where I can journal in there. I'm not a big journaler, right? But I do like to write things down. And anywhere within your Bible, in the book of Ephesians, right here, you know, first page or whatever, write down, like, Lord, I want to know what it is you've called me to do. And I can tell you, the more you sit at his feet, he will reveal that to you. And sometimes it's just so simple, and it's right there in front of your face. Sometimes it's geared around the way that your personality is and your giftings and all that good stuff. It's not as complicated as we think. It's just not. You don't need to go to seminary. In fact, I'd advise you to not go to seminary. Just sit at his feet. You got a Bible? Open your Bible. Read it. That's all you need. That's all you need. You want to do advanced education, all that good stuff, knock yourself out. That's fine. But if you want to know what he's called you to do or what he's called you to be, you just simply need to sit at his feet with the Word of God open and just spend time with him. And he will tell you. He'll tell you exactly what it is. There might be trial and error, so be patient, because you can try this. We talked about this before. You might think like, well, I'm a teacher, and then we'll give you an opportunity to teach. Maybe it may not be from here, but if it is, that's fine. I don't mind sharing a pulpit at all. Maybe it's teaching kids in the classroom, and then you spend time with some kids in a classroom. You know whether or not you got the gift of teaching, okay? I mean, it's pretty clear, right? And you come out there, you're sweating, and your blood pressure's all high and stuff. It's like, no, we're going to direct you somewhere else because that may not be it for you, okay? How are you at making coffee, right? Like, you got that? Okay, sweet. Because it's important. People walk in, you want maybe a cup of coffee or whatever, or a greeting out at the front porch, or, you know, just being available to minister and pray with people before and after services. Those are like very important things. So let's not complicate it. Let's not get too frustrated. But I don't want to move on from verse 1 too quickly without challenging all of us. Fill in the blank. What is it? And you really need to figure this out. You can't delay on this any longer if you don't know what it is. You can't delay any longer. You need to figure this thing out. What is it that he has called you to do? Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. We don't have much more time left in this church thing. There's a whole thing called the church age, okay? And that all happened we went through it, the book of Acts. It started back there. Jesus said, I will build my church. And there's this time frame with the church, but there's a start time and then there's an end time where the Holy Spirit, the rapture will happen. I don't know where you think it'll happen, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all that stuff. I'm a pre-trib guy. But the church is going to be out of here. So this time is limited. So time is of the essence. If you're going to serve, you know, and do whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, and not just within these walls, but in the church, capital C church, time is of the essence. Let's figure out what he has called you to do, how he has programmed you and designed you as he formed you within your mother's womb. What was he preparing you for? He's preparing you for heaven, eternity with him, but there's work to be done along the journey. So let's figure out what that is for you. Paul knew what it was. He knew what it was, and he could speak with confidence. This letter is from Paul, and most scholars believe that Paul actually did write this letter. There are some who don't think that, but whatever. It's undoubtedly that the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to pen this letter to a church that he cared so much about. He loved the church of Ephesus. He spent more time in Ephesus than anywhere else. He spent 3 years with these guys, planting this church in a step. Well, there's the thought he didn't even really plant this church. But he was going to pastor and shepherd this church for 3 years. And then he even would meet back with them on his way to imprisonment. All right? This letter was written from, more than likely from a Roman dungeon. It's the early 60s AD, could be anywhere from 61 to 62, could be a little bit later, but for sure within the first half of the early 60 AD, okay? Paul is writing this, and so if you read through this letter, the one thing I would want you to keep fresh on your mind is this: he's writing this from a jail cell. From a jail cell. He's not writing this from the beach, you know, in his lounge chair, you know, just admiring the view and the freedom he has and all this stuff. He's writing this from a very, you know, and this could be with the house arrest or it could have been another imprisonment. He was writing this while he was imprisoned. And that just makes the letter all that much more beautiful, understanding his circumstance. So he addresses who he's writing to, and this is, we'll read through this other verse, and then we'll jump into the book of Acts real quick, just so you can see who he's writing to. But he says, I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, or the saints who are in Ephesus. This is a fascinating thing. If you don't know this, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are a saint. You're like, I haven't done a miracle. Cool, neither have I. I don't think so. That doesn't determine who's a saint and who ain't. You know what I'm saying? I guess to use improper grammar there. Believers in Jesus Christ are saints. Now, we, and please don't do this, but we will not institute, you know, going around and addressing each other as saint so-and-so, okay? If you get to that level, it's gone to your head, and you need to come back down to reality, okay? I'm not Saint James, right? Don't call me Saint James, okay? Because I won't answer to that. But who I am in Christ, who you are in Christ, he calls you a saint. He identifies you as a saint. The word saint, it's really weird because it just has a bunch of like real, you know, churchy kind of connotations with it, right? Like, and we get it. There's people who have, they've maybe performed miracles or maybe they paid enough money and they've gotten their, you know, sainthood, you know, and all that stuff. But it's just really, a saint is, it's God's holy people. You belong to him. So whether you are ever referenced as a saint or not, it doesn't matter. I'd rather just be referenced as one of his kids. I belong to him. I belong to him. Because being a saint is not so much about what you do, it's about who you are. It's not what you do, it's who you are. In Christ, you are a saint. You are part of his holy people. So as Paul's writing this to the believers in Ephesus, and I'm sure it was circulated within churches around that area, but it applies today to us as well. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're one of his kids. And he would go so far as to even say that you're a saint. You're a holy, one of his holy people. So specifically there in Ephesus. Ephesus was a major, major city there in Asia Minor. One of the, like the capital cities in Asia Minor. These guys had it. They had it going on. Commerce-wise and everything. They had this huge temple built for Diana or Artemis, and there was nothing like this temple. You know, I mean, all the columns that were, it's like 100 and some odd columns or pillars that were built for this temple. A lot of quote-unquote religious practices happening in Ephesus. You have a lot of trade because it's right there. It's a coastal town, so a lot of people come and going from Ephesus. It was a major player back then in the Roman Empire. Paul wanted to get there. He wanted to get there desperately because he understood, like, lots of people are coming and going from this town. So let's get there. Let's establish something for the Lord, and let's just see how the Lord uses that. And it was a tremendous, just a tremendous place for him. So you understand, his route to Ephesus didn't go exactly as he planned. It's almost like driving to Galveston, Calvary Galveston, on Ironman race day. Right? You're like, well, if we go Stewart Road, then it's just right there. Paul wants to go to Ephesus. He's like, okay, if we just go this way, it's just right there. The problem is when you get there, there's a roadblock. And for the Apostle Paul, it's the Holy Spirit saying, no, no, you're going around. I don't want to go around. You're going around. Okay? You may have encountered that. They're like, no, you're going to go around. You're like, I don't want to go around. Too bad. You're going around. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul in trying to get to Ephesus.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of Bread for the Broken, a ministry of Calvary Galveston based out of Galveston, Texas. Today, Pastor James is teaching on the book of Job, where we see that Job cried out, challenged, and even accused the Lord, desperate to understand why he was suffering. And when God finally responded, he didn't offer explanations or defend himself. Instead, he thundered from the whirlwind, revealing his unmatched majesty, wisdom, and sovereignty. God didn't answer Job's question, but he gave Job something greater, a glimpse of who he truly is. In the end, Job's complaints were silenced, not by answers, but by awe. And from that awe came a deeper trust. Job walked away with a fuller understanding of God's power and splendor.
We hope that you were challenged by today's message. If you're ever in the Galveston, Texas area, we would love for you to come visit Calvary Galveston in person. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. in a laid-back, simple, and uncomplicated setting that's all about magnifying Jesus at every age and stage of life. And if you can't be with us locally, you can still worship with us each week through our Facebook live stream. Just visit breadforthebroken.com for the link and for more details. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to help others find the same hope, consider supporting us with a donation. Just head on over to breadforthebroken.com to give. Once again, we're so grateful that you joined us today to be inspired by God's Word. Please tune in again next time for Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man, who I love.